Hello, Gallatin Valley. Welcome back to Body Politic. You're listening to 95.9 FM KGVM Bozeman. And we're back with Donald Stuker, also known as Hex Shadow. And we were just talking a little bit. We just got started talking about Drag Time Story Hour. And it's something that it seems like conservatives are all in a flutter over. They're describing it as a grooming event, and I think just before we paused, before the second half, Donald was just telling us, how much not grooming it is, what really is the purpose of Drag Time Story Hour. And I, along those lines, because they do try to make it out as some kind of insidious, grooming that we're trying to convert, or that drag performers are trying to convert, children to be, I don't know, little miniature drag queens, or turn them gay or whatever. I was just wondering what, how does a Drag Time Story Hour go? What kinds of stories are being read there? Because as far as I was aware, the stories were pretty innocuous kids' stories about maybe being yourself, or nothing really that I would consider grooming. So what kinds of stories do they usually tell?
So I can speak to what I've done when I do drag story hours, which I don't do a ton of them. Honestly, the Mister Sisters out of Great Falls are sort of the experts. They usually produce the story hour for Montana Pride every year. But for the ones that I've read at, the books that I'm typically reading are actually the same books that my mother read to me as a kid in North Central Montana. You're talking about Jan Brett books. You're talking about Dr. Seuss books. You're talking about the same books that a public librarian would read to children at the library. And that makes up the bulk of what I've seen read at the story hours in Montana. Now, there are some age-appropriate books that do touch on concepts of gender, that do touch on concepts of same-sex marriage, but they're not subversive. I mean, I really want to underscore that they are age-appropriate books. They are children's books in which maybe both of the protagonists are male or both of the protagonists are female. So it's the same fairy tales in a lot of cases that everybody grew up with. That we grew up with, that my parents grew up with, but maybe they've changed it so that, as I said, the protagonists are both male or both female or are gender fluid. And really, all it's doing is introducing those concepts as this is a thing that exists and it's not something to be afraid of. Again, the intent and the materials that are being read are not subversive. They're wholesome, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, but what if a drag queen reads a story like Mr. Brown Can Moo Can You? I mean, isn't that instructing children that they could actually be a cow?
I'm not familiar with that book specifically,
Well,
but
I mean, if
I
you can moo, right? I
yeah,
mean,
I mean,
they're just getting ridiculous with this grooming narrative that they're always pushing. I just and the also they try to make drag out as implicitly sexual always. Like it can't be anything but sexual. So I mean, what kind of sexuality do you think comes out in a drag queen story hour? Is it
none.
even possible?
Yeah, it's when you talk about sort of the grooming narrative, I think that's really sort of tied into it. It's something that folks are really trying to convince, hey, this story hour is harmful because it's subversive and it's sexual. And I can tell you, when I read at Drag Story Hour, I'm generally in a caftan and a big old brimmed sun hat. That's normally what I wear. Again, very matronly. I am the consummate, aunt. But even some of the performers that at 18 and up shows, at the adult shows, tend to be more sexualized. Those performers, even when we're at all age events like Drag Story Hour, they're coming in ankle length gowns. They're coming in pantsuits. They're coming in things that are not sexual, that are not sexualized, that are appropriate. I mean, honestly, these kids are seeing more skin in the adverts in Walmart than they are at Drag Story Hour. I mean, taking them out in public, exposing them to, today's magazines or newspapers, they're seeing more skin than they would see at a Drag Story Hour.
Yeah, I you know they're always trying to paint the art of drag as something that is inherently obscene, but really like you mentioned, even at an 18 and up show, and I've been to many, I don't think I've seen any real amount of skin. I mean, some of the outfits might be a little risque. I mean, most of the risque that I encounter at a drag show is sometimes in the lyrics, or something to, or even the rapport between queens, that can get risque, but I don't remember very much skin ever.
And that's something that, again, at our 18 and up shows, there is occasionally skin. But, when I hear legislators in Helena comparing drag to strippers, I just have to laugh because, in my case particularly, people usually pay me to put my clothes back on.
Right.
So it's really humorous when, they're trying to paint these shows out as being strip shows or peep shows. They're not. I mean, it's a very different art form. Now, again, these are 18 and up shows, and there's nothing wrong with the art that is burlesque, the art that is stripping. So, even if we were doing that at our 18 and up shows, I don't think that that has the negative connotation that they're really trying to paint on it. But again, focusing on our all ages shows, there's a lot of conversation that goes on behind the scenes. I mean, when we produce all ages shows like we just had at former Felons Ball in Helena, the drag kings, the performers, we were all going back and forth, texting each other pictures. Hey, this is the outfit I was thinking of wearing. Do you think that this is appropriate? I'm worried about this. Hey, here's the song I'm going to perform. Would you mind listening through this once? Just double check me. I think this is going to be okay, but let's just make sure. It's not something that we throw together with no thought. It's not something we throw together with the intent of, converting children to the big queer agenda. It's something that is very, very well vetted, that's well thought out. That the Montana performers take an awful lot of time and energy to make sure is appropriate for the age group we're going to be in front of.
Yeah, I'm just as you're describing the outfits and things like that. I'm just kind of thinking back on the only all ages drag show that I somewhat attended, and that was this past summer at the Emerson in Bozeman, and it was an outdoor midday drag show. And when I went there, there were definitely children in the audience, but really most of the audience were adults. There was a really cute little girl that was just thrilled as she could be to give tips to the performers. I mean, she was so excited. You could just see it on her face that she could should tip these performers. But the outfits, as you said, this was a 90 plus degree day, and these performers were head to toe. Most of them had hats or headwear and heavy garments, probably lots of undergarments going on with that as well. And I just could not see any way that could be construed as a sexual event.
And I can confirm that if it's the show at the Emerson I'm thinking of, I was actually there and it was so hot. And
Yeah.
even though there weren't many children there, because there was the potential for children to be there, we were all dressed head to toe and it was hot. And so I think it, like you say, it speaks to the dedication of our community that it would have been really nice if we could have stripped some layers off, but because there was the potential for children to be there, we didn't. We stayed appropriately clad the entire show.
Yeah. And it's funny that the proponents of these drag bands and stuff are also the same people that talk so much about parents' rights. And it seems to me that banning attendance at drag shows by children is stepping all over the parents' rights of people that would probably like their children to see an all-ages drag show. And I'm thinking that, you're probably if your little boy is, all G.I. Joe and, Army of One kind of kid, he's probably gonna not have any interest in a drag show. Those parents aren't gonna be taking those kids to drag shows. If you're trying to raise your little boy so that he can grow up to be a mighty elk hunter or an MMA fighter or whatever manly pursuit you want that boy to have, you're not gonna take them to a drag show. But if you're a parent of a child that might be a little softer, I'm talking on the boy side of things, and might like to paint their nails or do more feminine pursuits, they might really benefit from going to a drag show. They might not feel like they're the only person like them in the world, like I did when I was a kid. So it just seems to me that they're being very disingenuous, that they're being the subversive ones by trying to cast these things as inherently sexual when they're in fact not. Anybody that's ever even been close to a drag show of all ages would know that. I don't know. I'm kind of over them.
I do think I would say though, even if you're raising a boy who's into MMA fighting and elk hunting and, Army of One, I think that that child would also benefit from going to a drag show just to let them know that those people exist, right? That those people exist and that that's okay. That doesn't have to be who he is. That doesn't have to alter his identity in any way, but letting children see that there are people that are different from who they are and that that's okay. I think at its base is sort of what we're trying to do with shows. But I also agree with you completely in the rest of your narrative. The bills that are being put forward are so incredibly disingenuous. One of the mistakes that I watched Montana's drag community make when these bills first came up is we all took it seriously. We looked at it and we sat down and we had conversation after conversation around how could we do these shows differently? Man, that show we did 4 years ago, was that appropriate? And I mean, we really just started picking apart what we had done in the community until we realized these bills are not intended to try and produce better opportunities for kids.
No.
The people that are bringing these bills forward are not sincere in we want to produce better opportunities for kids. What they're doing is they're using children as a smokescreen to villainize and demonize our community and our community's members. They're not going to be happy until every single one of us is back in the closet and out of sight. And that's
That's
really the end goal here.
exactly how I see it. And that brings me to also an event last summer that you were involved with Montana Pride in Billings. That was like a drag time story hour at Zoo Montana.
It was. So that event was actually part of 406 Pride's festival.
Right, okay.
The Billings organization that, produces their city pride festival. And we did a number of events that weekend. One of my drag family members, Anita Shadows, actually was responsible for, planning all of that. I was just sort of there in the background to help out. But I did go and I did read at 406 Pride's Drag Story Hour at Zoo Montana. And there were a couple of experiences that I would love to share
I'm hoping you
around
will.
that.
Yeah.
You know, the first is in the decade plus that I've been doing drag, that was the first time that I can ever remember performing under armed guard. The Billings Police Department had six or eight uniformed armed officers, some in front of the zoo, some in, right inside the gates at the zoo, and two of them stood in the back of the pavilion where we were reading the entire time. And I still have really complex feelings about that because, on the one hand, I did go up and thank every single one of those officers at the end for being there and for trying to create a safe space. But I also had some really serious concerns about what kind of message it sends, particularly to children, when you have an event that should be fun and safe and welcoming. And then you have cops that we have to have there for security and safety. It just, I don't know. Like I said, I have some really complex feelings around that, but it was definitely the first time in my career where I'd ever looked around and went, wow, people are taking this so seriously that the police felt the need to be here for my safety. And that scares me a little bit. The other experience that I wanted to share from the Drag Story Hour at Zoo Montana was towards the end of the event, I had to step away to take a business call. And so I walked, down the path at the zoo and was just on my phone. And a woman came up and tried to talk to me while I was on my phone. And I, just kind of waved at her and pointed at my phone and was like, I'm so sorry. I have to finish this call. It's work. And when I finished, then she came back up and found me again. And she said, well, I just wanted to get your thoughts on how this story hour is going today. And I said, well, I think it's going really well. I mean, we've had incredibly high turnout. We did three or four readings. I think it was three readings, three different, hour-long tranches of reading, and we filled the pavilion every time. Tons and tons of kids. We haven't had any major incidents with protesters. So I said, I think the event is going really well. And this woman looked at me and she goes, well, I just wanted you to know that I'm here today not to support you. I'm here and I'm opposed to all of this going on. And I said, oh, well, I, appreciate that you're exercising your right, to be opposed to this in a respectful way. I said, I appreciate that you're not yelling at me and that while I was on my phone call, you didn't come over and start yelling at me because that would have been real awkward for me at work. And her response was to say, well, I appreciate that you're talking to me as a person. The media has really been painting us protesters as these monsters. And she said, we're not, we're not monsters. And I kind of laughed and I said, well, I guess we have that in common too then. Because that's part of why I'm here today, to teach children that we drag queens, we drag performers, the queer community, that we're not monsters just because we're different. And the woman kind of stood there and you could see that she was processing everything that was going on. And she finally tilted her head to the side. She said, this whole thing has been pretty vanilla. She said, I came here expecting, just a horror show from the word go. And she said, I sat and listened to some of the books. I've seen how all of you are dressed. And she goes, I guess this really isn't that offensive. And, we sort of wrapped up the conversation there. But it was just very interesting to me because this woman had very clearly come expecting a strip show for children in the zoo, and she was prepared to be indignant and outraged and to protect the children. And she actually sat through part of the reading and realized that maybe there was nothing to be afraid of there. And that's what I wish so many of these people that are pushing this false narrative of how dangerous drag story hour is, I wish they would come to one. And if you're worried about exposing your kids to it, leave your kids at home and just come by yourself. Come check it out. There is nothing nefarious going on at these things. But, Zoo Montana had all kinds of threats that were put against them, all kinds of negative publicity. I give them a lot of credit. Their executive director of the zoo put out a very, very firm statement saying, no, we're going to have this event. We're not going to be scared off, and we support these types of events. And he was absolutely phenomenal. He came to the event itself and, spent time with each of the performers and really stressed his support. And I thought that was so incredible. But I definitely give them a lot of credit because it is scary. When you start getting death threats and you start getting nasty grams every day you wake up to, a different creative threat, it's really easy to get scared and just say, okay, forget this. Like, I'm not going to host the show. I'm not going to do this. And 406 Pride and Zoo Montana didn't give in to the pressure. And neither did the performers that came and read that day. And was an incredible experience. It went very, very well. I know it meant a lot to the Billings community. And I'm just really proud of all involved for not caving into fear.
Well, I am really proud of everyone involved too, and I'm really grateful. I'm grateful to you for doing what you've done. I'm grateful for you to you for having that conversation with that one woman. I mean, if more of those kind of conversations happened, maybe understanding would start to spread a little bit. I've been up at the legislature for so many sessions fighting against anti-trans bills, anti-LGBT bills, and one thing that every time I come away with the feeling that those people, those proponents that are pushing these bills, don't know us. They couldn't know us because if they knew us, they couldn't say the things that they're saying in good conscience because it's so untrue. And they've never been to a drag performance. And, if they could go to one and lighten up a little bit, they might just have the time of their life. So I would encourage anybody that's listening to this show that's never been to a drag performance, and there's getting to be a lot of them, you should go. You should go and see what it real what really goes on and how fun it can really be. It might just expand your horizons and add some color to your life. So I'm just about out of time, but I just wanted to ask one last question, get your opinion. Now, these bills, specifically the drag ban bill, but other anti-LGBT bills, they're just moving right along. There is a super majority. And anybody that might be an understanding member of the GOP that is in the legislature is afraid to vote against these bills, so they continue unabated. I feel like a lot of them are going to become law, including the drag ban. And I think we've gotten some assurances that they are unconstitutional, which they are, according to the Montana Constitution, certainly, and that they won't pass muster, that they will lose in court challenge. So we might not have to deal with this, but if it does become law, if it doesn't fall to a court challenge, what's that going to look like for the drag community in Montana? How do you see drag proceeding?
So I want to be really clear from the outset on this question. Drag will continue in the state of Montana. We will not be forced back into the closet. We will not be forced back into hiding. And I want everyone listening to this to know we are not going anywhere. With regards to the bills that are being passed, I agree with you 100%. I think by and large, they are unconstitutional. I have every confidence that if they're signed into law, our courts will strike them down. And I think what that looks like is, you know, a temporary period in which drag becomes a little bit more, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? A little bit more careful in where we perform and how we perform. And I think what that looks like is if the bill is signed into law, as the challenges are being mounted in court, I think the drag community is going to need to work, you know, hand in hand with some of our allies to parse through the bill and figure out, okay, how can we perform? Where can we perform? You know, how can we continue doing these things that we're currently doing? And so it makes our lives more difficult, but I have every confidence that if these are signed into law, we will get over those difficulties and we will continue creating those safe spaces for our community.
You know, that's kind of how I imagined it would proceed. And I'm super grateful to the drag community for being as fierce as they are. And thank you.
Absolutely. Do you mind if I make one other comment really quick?
No, not at all.
So something that I want to call out for everyone, as we're having these discussions around these bills, there's two groups that are getting overlooked. A lot of the discourse you hear is around drag queens, drag queen story hour. How does the drag ban impact drag queens? And I want to remind everybody, we have an incredibly rich, diverse performance community that includes gender non-binary and gender fluid performers. It includes drag kings, and they're incredible. I mean, they have every bit as much impact as the queens in this state do, if not more. So I really want to encourage everyone, you know, if you take something away from today's discussion and you're having these conversations with the people around you, please keep in mind it's the drag artists. It's not just the drag queens. And the second group that I think is really getting overlooked is, even though it's a bill, you know, aimed at drag artists, this has some really awful implications for our trans siblings as well. So again, these bills harm more than just drag queens. The implications are staggering. And I just kind of wanted to call that out. I wanted to make sure we didn't close today without acknowledging that. So thank you so much for the time.
I agree. And I'm so happy you mentioned that. Thank you. That's the show. You were listening to Body Politic on KGVM 95.9 FM in Bozeman. Thank you, Donald, for coming. And I hope maybe we can have you on again sometime under better circumstances.
I'd be honored. Thank you so much.
Really appreciated spending the time with you.